expensive long-distance phone call. Two, when school had ended, she returned to Wisconsin, a heat of Locust, Pennsylvania. She'd sworn to maintain a sense of fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Walden began to worry. He had trouble sleeping at night. And when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his breathing, trembling to protect him. Her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the sweet soothings on the end of her. Finally submitted to the final curses of sexual oblivion. It was more than the human mind could bear. Visions of Marsha's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. The thing was, he didn't understand what she really was. He Waldo alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. He had made her smile. She needed him, and he wasn't there. Ah. The idea came to him on a Thursday before the mother's parade was scheduled for dinner. He just finished mowing an engine near Edison's Hall for $15,000. And then checked the mailbox to see if there was at least a word from Marsha. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Aluminum Company of America, inquiring into his honor.
Marsha tightened the belt on the cotton robe.
Sheila ran her finger over some salt grains in the kitchen table, licked her fingers and made a face. "I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills," she said, "but they made me feel like throwing up." "God, don't even talk about that," she said. We got up from the table and went to the sink. She picked up a bottle of pink and blue wine. "Want one?" "Supposed to be better than steak." And then attempted to touch her knees. "I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again," she said. Sat down near the small table supporting the telephone. "After last night, I thought you'd be through with him." "I know what you mean. My God, he was like an octopus. Hands all over the place." She gestured, raising her arms up properly fast. "The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know. And after all, I didn't really do anything Friday or Saturday. So I kind of owed it to him, you know what I mean?" She started to scratch. Sheila was giggling with her hand over her mouth. "I tell you, I felt the same way, and even after a while..." Bent forward in a whisper. "I wanted to." Now she's laughing very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow Post Office rang the doorbell of the lounge stucco-covered frame house. When Marsha Bronson opened the door, he helped to carry the package in, had his yellow and green slips signed, and left with the tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small pocketbook in the den. "What do you think it is?" she asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back, stared at the round cardboard carton that sat in the middle of the living room. "I don't know," she said. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he listened to the muffled voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape that landed on the center of the garter. "Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from?" Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. It would be soon. Marge walked around the counter with her lean, scratched label. "God, it's from Waldo," she said. "That schmuck," said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. "Well, he might as well open it," said Sheila. And both of them tried to lift the flap. "Whoa," said Marsha, groaning. "You must have nailed it shut." In the front again. "My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open." They pulled again. "You can't get a grip," she said. Both stood breathing heavily. "Why don't you get a scissors?" said Sheila. Marsha ran into the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter in her hand. "This is the best I can find," she said, very out of breath. "Here, you do it. I think I'm going to die," she said, sinking into the couch and exhaling noisily. Sheila tried to make a slip between the masking tape at the end and the cardboard flap. The blade was too big and there wasn't enough room. "God damn this thing," she said, feeling very exasperated. Then smiling, "I got an idea." "What?" said Marsha. "Just watch," said Sheila. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he could barely breathe. His skin felt prickly from leakage, and he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the passage. Then she sank down on her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.